Understanding leads to change, and change creates a stronger, more clear understanding. This can be said about a lot of social issues, one of those certainly same-sex marriage. While state by state, the view of reaction to same-sex marriage has certainly been varied, same-sex couples have received a bit of stability in their lives with the signing into law of the Respect for Marriage Act. Here to explain the significance of this law, what it confirms, what it might even lead to, is the founder and CEO of At Leadership, who also attended the bill signing of the White House, Todd Sears. How are you today, Todd?
Fantastic, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for coming on in to discuss this. At Leadership's website, the obvious, atleadership.com. Explain what the elements are of the Respect for Marriage Act, because almost instantly you had the usual suspects, the Angertainment primetime host on cable news and social media posters, just really not painting an honest picture of what this means. It's they almost utilize it as one of their another one of their many "they're coming to get you" tools, but that's not it.
Well, it's not an "I'm going to get you" tool, but it's a "I'm going to hopefully protect you" tool. I look at it as almost a preemptive. When Clarence Thomas and others from the Supreme Court in the Roe v. Wade decision and the leaked decisions and the concurring opinions spoke about not just Roe, but the opportunity to repeal the Obergefell decision, which ultimately was the second of the two marriage decisions from the Supreme Court that did protect LGBTQ Americans, that sent this bill into overdrive. So this bill literally is, well, now this law, was put into place on the assumption that the Supreme Court will try to once again roll back rights as they did with the Roe decision, and this time it'll be affecting LGBTQ Americans and also potentially interracial couples, which is the ultimate irony for someone like Clarence Thomas, who is in an interracial marriage.
Yes, they also referred to the Griswold v. Connecticut back from 1965 ruling, which basically said to any government, stay out of the bedroom. And if you want, for you listening, if you want probably one of the most brief, concise, direct rulings ever by the Supreme Court with no room for reinterpretation, I advise you to read Griswold v. Connecticut, especially if that might come up as a catch for, well, not just as Thomas, someone has to bring it before the court for that to happen. The how varied are state-by-state rules and laws when it comes to same-sex marriage, and have you as an observer seen that trend change to the better to any significant degree?
Well, significantly, I think if you look at, like, we could look at it a couple of different ways. If you look at it from the sentiment of Americans, over 70% of Americans think that same-sex couples should have marriage equality. And just take that one data point, that has significantly and steadily increased over the last 10 years. 10 years ago, it was about 30%. So if you look at it from a historical perspective, Bloomberg actually did this really interesting study of social issues and the changing attitudes. There is no other social issue in American history where mindset has changed so significantly in so short a period of time as around LGBTQ rights, which is a huge positive. I do also think that it directly ties to more LGBTQ people being visible, more people being married, and actually creating stable family structures and being visible in their communities. And ultimately, you know, the prognosticators like the Jerry Falwells, who said that, you know, this will be the end of morality and all their sort of terrible things would happen if gays get to get married, not only didn't come true, but in point of fact, states received economic benefits. Stability of family structures increase, more LGBTQ couples can have children and that are protected. All of the positives that we associate for marriage that ultimately conservative people can argue for have come true. And I think that's a pretty big positive for us. Obviously, the flip is that they're trying to take it away in all of these different pieces. And there are many states that still have anti-gay marriage or marriage equality bans on the books that now could actually end up being enforceable/ come back because, if Obergefell is overturned, this Respect for Marriage Act will protect at a federal level, but it opens the door for discrimination that does not exist currently because of the Obergefell decision.
This also can lead to the negative side. It will incite those who are filled with hate to commit hate crimes against the LGBTQ community. We've seen those numbers continue to rise, and sad to say, too, with the FBI hate crimes report, only 65% of police departments nationwide provided the FBI with hate crime statistics. That was for the year 2021, compared to 93% that did so the year before. So when we see hate crime figures of the 2021 report had total for all targets, 7,262, you could probably safely, considering the fact that places like Los Angeles, New York, and other and Miami, places like that, you could probably easily put that number over 10,000.
Easily. And there are only 22 states in the country that include LGBTQ people in their own definition of hate crimes. So there is significant opportunity. And as we saw with Club Q just not even a month ago in Colorado Springs, the rhetoric from the right around hate and fear and using the LGBTQ community as they have for 40 years. I mean, it's a playbook from Anita Bryant in the 70s saying that gay people are grooming young people. I mean, they literally are using the same terms of hatred and division and ignorance, truthfully, about who LGBTQ people are. And there are direct results. The violence and the hatred and all of the pieces on social media, teen suicide continues to rise, suicide in the LGBT community continues to rise, in the trans community. I mean, there were 135 anti-trans bills in 31 state legislatures across the United States in the last 12 months. So there is a significant attack on the LGBT community rooted in the idea that they can create fear.
Start with Todd Sears, who is the founder and CEO of OutLeadership. OutLeadership.com is the website. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. We're putting focus on the Respect for Marriage Act, which is now law, as you might have seen with the White House signing that Mr. Sears did attend. But your focus of your organization is to bring fairness into the business community as far as the LGBTQ community is concerned. I shared the results recently, a poll by Resume Builder of hiring managers. This was frightening to me. 25% openly said, this wasn't a hidden secret microphone. No, you know, they knew they were going to be recorded. 25% of the hiring managers in this poll said they refused to consider Jewish applicants. Is that a similar situation that the LGBTQ community is facing when they go in for either jobs or equality in the workplace for advancement in jobs?
Absolutely. And if you think about it, you know, you mentioned OutLeadership's work. So OutLeadership counts 98 of the world's most influential companies as our members. We're the first global LGBTQ business organization. And our summits around the world focus on convening business leaders to talk about these exact issues, not just for their employees, but how they can act in the economic interests of their companies in every place they do business. So in the States, we're talking about, obviously, hiring, development, the war on talent, all of this matters. And LGBTQ people statistically are well-educated, are highly empathetic, are great leaders, great employees. But discrimination absolutely still exists. There have been resume studies on LGBTQ people, on people of color, Jewish people. You're much less likely to get a first-round interview in a blind study, for example, from a black community perspective, if your name sounds black, in quotes. From the LGBTQ perspective, it can be very much the same thing. People literally hide who they are until they've gotten through a job process. We actually have data showing that 60% of young leaders who are out of the closet in college go back in the closet for their first job, in the Fortune 500, by the way, all of whom have these protections in place because the fear of being discriminated against, especially in a very sort of subtle, quiet way, is very real. And so people do feel fear for their careers. And the state-level pieces that are happening now, like the Florida Don't Say Gay bills, et cetera, are driving away talent. We know that 26% of LGBT people have left anti-gay states in the last 2 years to go to more friendly states. So these states that are passing these bills are literally sacrificing their talent.
And really, for the companies, it's a simple process of, okay, all the companies, I guess I should say, at this point have policies and rules as regarding marriage, spousal benefits, spousal care for any illness, long-term illness, adoption, things like that. Why do you think it's so challenging for some of these companies to not see that, all right, we're doing this for the heterosexual couples, why not the same-sex couples? Because the policy is already there, but we're not doing anything different.
Well, that's right. I think, you know, I often like to say that policy does not equal culture, right? Yeah. You can have all of the right policies in place, but people don't leave companies, they leave managers. Right, so if the policies are there, but the local manager that you interact with every day is a homophobe, it's not going to matter to you. And so I think, you know, at a senior level, we work with over 900 CEOs. Lloyd Blankfein, the CEO of Goldman Sachs, is my first board member, for example. We have amazing leaders. And to a person, they all are allies, and they know that these are all the right things to do. But in a 300,000-person organization, it's very hard, especially at middle management levels, to make sure that the experience for LGBT people is consistent, especially globally, where gay people are still illegal in 68 countries. So the situation for companies is a challenge, but I really am very proud of the companies that we work with because they are using their economic power. You know, so many companies, over 400 companies, supported marriage equality through both Supreme Court cases, continuing to, and globally, using their economic power. Singapore just decriminalized homosexuality a month ago, primarily because of the push of the business community the last 10 years. So the companies know the right thing to do and are increasingly doing it. I think the reason we have such progress is single-handedly the business community globally making the case that this is not a moral thing, this is a business thing.
And for someone within those large companies, if they see one of those bigots who get through the process, hide in the darkness, perpetrate the toxic and the poison, to say something to somebody so that's that poison, that cancer can get cut out of the organization and avoid having it spread.
That's exactly right. I mean, you know, people sometimes say, well, you know, my religion says this, that, or the other. And that's perfectly fine in your personal life. But the moment you step into a company and you take a paycheck from that company, that company's values supersede your own. And you're free to not take a paycheck from that company and take a paycheck from some other place. But if the company's values are respect and understanding and inclusion, then you've got to abide by that, whether that means that you think women are not equal or black people are not equal or gay people are an abomination. None of those things are okay if you're taking a paycheck. You have to actually subscribe to the company's purpose and inclusion values. And I think that's an important thing that companies are struggling with because the religious right has made the case that they are being, quote-unquote, discriminated against for their religious beliefs. And there is no and should not be a religious right to discriminate in the public sphere. If you serve the public, you have to serve the public. If you're an employee, you have to be an employee and all that comes with that.
And for those who say their objection is faith-based, I think you need a new Bible because apparently yours doesn't have the writings of Jesus about judging others because that's really not your spot. That's not your spot. So, well, we can talk about that another time. Learn more about the work of Out Leadership and the difference that they are making, the solidification of what can be a challenging situation for many in the LGBTQ community. Outleadership.com. He is their founder and CEO, Todd Sears. Todd, thanks for being here today.
Scott, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity, and thanks for doing the work that you're doing.